Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 144? Wow, 144 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And this is a really fun one. This is with Andrew from Ember's Barbecue in Lubbock, Texas. They're open Thursdays and Saturdays only. They're outside of the Charles Adams Art Project from 11 a.m. till sold out. Get there early because they do sell out. Those hours and things might expand. You'll hear at the end of the interview all about that. This is such an interesting one because Andrew's just dead honest. He is honest about his feelings along the road to getting to where they are. And a lot of you guys who are listening to this or might know that they're in Leveland, for a stint for a year or so, and the road to open that up was difficult. And he's honest about how exciting it was and how it blew up and then how it leveled off and how sales were dying and then how they had to come to grips with the fact that they needed to do something else. And he was thinking of other things. And he's been in the barbecue business for a long time. He's worked at Bigham's in Lubbock for over a decade. And he talks about that. He talks about his first brisket and how he cooked a brisket at Bigham's and totally different than the way they do. And he talks about their style and talks about the style of barbecue in that region. And I don't know, I don't want to get too into the weeds because we get into the weeds in the interview, and I think you're really going to love it and really be interested in visiting Ember's when you're in the Lubbock area. I can't thank Andrew enough for being so forthcoming. And this episode is brought to you by The Smoke Sheet. The Smoke Sheet is available at bbqnewsletter.com, bbqnewsletter.com. Just follow the link, sign up, boom, every Wednesday in your email box you get a newsletter. But to call it a newsletter isn't really explaining exactly what it is. It's full of fresh content, original content every week. It's created by Sean Ludwig, who is NYC BBQ, and Ryan Cooper, who is at BBQ Tourist. The two of them joined forces when they met outside of Snow's Barbecue in Lexington, Texas. Realized they're on the same path of exploring barbecue joints and learning about where pitmasters go and all about the barbecue news and what's going on. And that's why they came out with the Smoke Sheet. And it's great. I've been on board since day one. That's why I wanted to work with them and do this sponsorship, because I wanted more people to know about it. There's barbecue news, there's information on openings and closings and barbecue events, links and information to all the latest barbecue events that are coming up. That way you don't miss out. There's links to all the barbecue YouTube stuff out there, the Vimeo stuff, all the barbecue podcasts. There's a lot of barbecue podcasts. I'm sure if you're listening to this, you probably listen to other ones too, and they're great. But they give you information as to what is coming up in each one of those or what you just missed the last week, which is great. It's invaluable. There's also a barbecue recipe of the week that's an original one that it's really great. You're going to read it. You're going to find something new every week. They put a lot of work into it. It's not something that is quickly pumped together. It's really, really great. It's available again at bbqnewsletter.com. That's bbqnewsletter.com. The Smoke Sheet is barbecue news worth consuming. And if you're digging these, please subscribe. I have a YouTube channel too. If you're just listening to the podcast, it's youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints, and you can find me at Kevin's BBQ Joints pretty much everywhere. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Follow me. Send me a direct message. Let me know what you're thinking of this. Let me know if there's anything specific within this interview that you dig. I really do appreciate all the feedback, and I appreciate you guys listening to it. I know there's a lot of different things to listen to, and there's tons and tons of movies and TVs and sport. There's so much stuff out there. So the fact that you guys do take the time to enjoy these, it means a lot. So thanks for being part of this, and I really hope you enjoy this. Thanks so much. Good evening, Andrew. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
I'm glad we finally got this together. I'm sorry I'm using this archaic Skype to get this going, but I'm glad we got it.
Hell yeah.
The first question I wanted to ask, because I generally ask, what's a day been like for you, or what's a usual day? But what does barbecue mean to you, or what is barbecue, in your mind?
It's deep-rooted for me. I mean, my whole family did that, growing up every weekend, literally every weekend, barbecue at the house. And when I started driving and, going out on my own, and then I'd come home, I'd always everybody in my family would be together barbecuing. So that's just what they did. And, I didn't realize how special it was until later in life. One of my first jobs was a barbecue place here in Lubbock. It was called Bigham's.
Okay.
Bigham's Smokehouse. So, it was developed opened in the 80s. Anyway, so I worked there about 9 years off and on between school and, and construction jobs or whatever I was doing.
Were you cooking there or were just working there?
So I did everything there because I started when I was 16. So I washed dishes and then worked my way up. I was cutting and, just serving online, cashier. And then, I ended up being manager and cooking. And they did tons of catering. So, like, if you were cooking there, you did tons of, you cooked a lot of briskets every night and you cut a lot, you cut that morning for all your caterings you had and sent people out the door with it. And you still, you had to get all that done before the morning opened,
And that's a lot. Catering is a lot. I think people that aren't in the restaurant business or haven't been, maybe might not realize how an important part of the business that is.
And see, I don't know, they're very well established, so they've been around forever, so the catering was huge for them. And anybody I ever meet, I'm like, man, Bigham's, they make a lot of money on their catering,
I hate to ask this, are they still around?
Yeah they are. Yeah, they have actually a couple spots in town that they opened. They're local, but then one of the sons actually owns Triple J Smokehouse, Steakhouse, Chop House is what they call it. It's in the Depot District. So, but yeah, when I worked there, that's when I realized do I love barbecue? Like, what the hell? Like, because I was like, this is what my family does, for fun and just to eat. Like, they believe in eating well, So at that point is when I realized I really enjoy cooking and serving people and because growing up in my family, if somebody cooked that weekend, it maybe my uncle. Or my dad, depending on who it was. When everybody's eating, all you'd hear is compliments the whole time. And I just thought that was normal. But, in my family, that's, the way it was. You did good on this. Oh, my God, so tender. It's whatever. And I'm so that's just the way it was. But then, I realized that's, pretty cool. Now I'm wow, that's really cool.
And it makes you feel good. That's within family and friends when that happens. It's a great feeling. It really is nice.
Yeah.
And it's encouraging to people. I think it's important.
Yeah. And that's what they did. It was whoever was cooking was just trying to do the most bomb job for the family. And then everybody would compliment them every weekend, I'm telling you.
Was it brisket?
No, they did a lot of grilling, steaks. And they would... They didn't do different marinades or whatever, but I mean, they would cook a lot, ribs, everything. That's where I fell in love with it. Bigham's furthered it, and that was that was when I was, so I'm 32 or almost 32. So when I was 16, so I started Bigham's 2005.
Okay. Did it get pretty busy? Were there big rushes, lunch rush?
Yeah, there's big rushes because like I said, they're pretty established. Sunday morning rush is huge for Bigham's, aligned to the door the whole time. So there I learned too, how to snap with it, get with it.
That was my point.
There's a lot of people coming and how to work with the team in a kitchen,
And what it's like, all the prep, all that stuff. That's probably, that was a great primer for you.
Yeah. And so some of the people that I worked there with, there's still a couple of them that still work there. They worked there forever, some of those people that, one of the ladies, her name's Esther, she's worked there before I worked there, she worked there and she's still working there. So she's,
So if you go to Bigham's, which location does she work at?
82nd.
If you go there, say hi to Esther and say that Andrew said hi.
Yeah, exactly.
She's going to be, hopefully she'll be what's going on?
So, I don't know. Yeah, I worked there forever, and that's when I realized, this is barbecue to me.
Were you traveling outside to go to other barbecue places, or was that just your idea of what barbecue was?
No, I've always, like I said, when I realized I love barbecue, what the hell is this, then I started to recollect all the other barbecue I've had that I enjoy, there's Ponderosa Barbecue that's, in Dickens. The small town, from here to Seymour. My grandparents were from Seymour, and my papa was a trucker.
Okay.
So if I would ever ride on the truck with him, we would always stop in Ponderosa and get sliced brisket sandwiches. And that's also when I realized, at Bigham's at that time period, man, that's badass. So that's, one of my spots where I was, Ponderosa's special to me, Mm-hmm. But, yeah, of course, and it didn't matter that I worked at Bigham's. I'd eat every place in Lubbock, what does this taste like? Just obsessed with I mean, it could be anything. If it if they got a good sauce or something, I'm like, hell yeah, like that's cool, you know? That's cool that they made that.
What would you say West Texas style barbecue is? Is there a specific style of that, or is it just kind of a mix of things, or more saucy?
See, okay, people always want to be like, oh, it's more mesquite-based and yeah, all this.
No, I've heard that.
And I believe maybe there's something there. I don't know, because, like, there's places in town that are, like, that advertise just mesquite. But
oh, interesting.
Yeah, just mesquite. They advertise just mesquite. But then, like, from wood guys that I messed with and then going to check it out myself because I'm like so curious about it. Like, yeah, they don't even use mesquite, they use straight up oak, too. You know, and you're like, oh, like, why? Like, but it's funny because, too, like, if people ask me, what do you smoke with? And they just automatically, like, you smoke with mesquite? And I'm like, no, I don't smoke with mesquite, I smoke with oak. Like, and then, like, when we were leveling, people especially were like, oh, that's strange. And I'm like, it's not that strange, man. Like,
it's not that.
That's what we used at Bigham, so that's like what I went with, you know.
That's pretty. That's pretty funny that people would even think that that's a strange thing, or that people even think that they can discern the difference. Like some,
right?
It takes a certain palate to be able to understand,
right?
Yeah,
and I think that, like, I mean, I do like some stuff like smoke with mesquite or whatever, mm-hmm. And you know, I've grilled things over mesquite, and I mean, it comes out badass, like. I don't know what Miss West Texas Barbecue is really. The oldest restaurant in Lubbock is Tom and Bingo's Barbecue.
Okay.
Okay, and it's off 34th Street, and it's so now it's third generation barbecue joint. They do things their way, you know. Like, they didn't have sides all this time. I don't know. The guy that took it over.
Well, that's interesting.
He's about my age. He's the son-in-law of the guy. So, he might have added it on. He's doing some new things. But anyways, they do just what you get there when you go, man, go get a chopped beef sandwich. And they have the best sauce ever, dude. Like, and they sell that sauce in the grocery store now, you know, all that. So, but I mean,
are they smoking with mesquite over there?
No, they actually use hickory.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm like, I don't know.
So that's interesting. Do you think this is kind of off topic? But do you think that places like that, these older places, have to change because of the way Texas monthly and the way the barbecue world has changed, or are they staying the same?
I don't think so. I mean,
they have their customers, right? They don't need
right. Yeah. If I was like in charge of Tom and Bingo's, I would be like, we're not changing a damn thing.
Yeah,
maybe raise the prices a little bit if you have to, because beef prices are so true. Outrageous.
True.
But I mean, you know, because you got to stay in business. But other than that, man, like
you've got to add desserts maybe or something, or maybe.
Right. And he's added some desserts and stuff. But that's cool, man. Like, there's just, it's the charm of barbecue. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to go to that place, like,
and you want like it to be the same.
People want to go to Lockhart.
Yeah, if Lockhart all of a sudden changed or started completely changing, that would be sad. That would be really sad.
Right. And you kind of just like, well, I don't know. Like, it's good. It's good bites there and Tom Bingo's, but at the same time, if it changed, you'd be like, well, what makes this any different from true. You know, this new place that just popped up? Like, yeah.
And you hope that these generational places stay in business. I hope they do.
Right. Yeah.
So when did your drive change, like what happened between you working there and then at Bigham's and then actually starting your own place? Did you go to school or do something else first? And then, so you grew up in Lubbock or outside of Lubbock?
Yeah, I grew up in Lubbock. Well, right outside the city limits. Okay. So, or in the cotton fields. But yeah, born and raised here. When I was working at Bigham's, like, you know, I started when I was in high school. So, you know, it didn't take me long to realize, like, I love it. Like, I love this, yeah. You know. And throughout all the years, whenever I was, when I needed a job, I'd just go back there because I knew all those people. And they knew I was a hard worker. So I'd be like, hey, I need a job. They'd be like, all right, like, you can start now if you want. Like, we need somebody.
Yeah, and they trusted you. Yeah, yeah.
I joked with my dad even at one point in my life. And I was like, when I got a job there again for, like, I don't know, the fourth time or something. And he's like, you working back there again? I'm like, yeah. And I was like, I guess I'm just going to do barbecue for the rest of my life. And then he's all like, I guess so, you know.
Well, and it's true. It came true.
And I didn't know at that time that we would actually even open anything.
Yeah.
It was always like a thing in the back of my mind, like, you know, when you're doing that for somebody else all the time, like, you're like, man, this would be so cool if I could do this for myself.
Yeah.
Especially whenever you really enjoy going to other people's places and you find it, you know, like I said, charming, like, in its own way. Like, you just want a place of your own like that. Yeah. You know, you want to impress people with your food and, like, you know. So, it's cool.
How did you start? So, Embers, was it called Embers at the beginning? And did you buy an offset from somebody or get one on Craigslist? Or how did...
No. So, I was cooking a lot of Bigums, and then so I actually had read, I don't know where I read, somewhere, it might even been a Daniel Vaughn like article or about somebody, but I had read about salt and pepper brisket, and like at Bigums they don't season it at all, they just take it out of the pack and throw it right on.
Oh, interesting.
Because theirs is just like, their sauce is pretty good, so like they go off of that. So I read about salt and pepper brisket and I was like, man, that's really cool, like, because I've had, like, marinated briskets and stuff, and I was like, I'm just going to try that. I'm going to try the salt and pepper brisket. I'm going to trim it up. Bigums, you know, they didn't trim or nothing. Like, they threw it on. When it was cooked, when you put it on the chopping block, then you would trim it up after it was cooked.
Interesting.
And, you know, just serve the lean, and then the moist end would actually be, like, chopped up later to be chopped beef, you know, later.
That's super old school. That's so old school.
Yeah, exactly. And then so I had so much experience from trimming briskets after they were cooked. Like, I already knew where the fat was. You know what I mean? Like,
because you understood it.
Yeah, I had a good idea. So, you know, trimming a brisket to me and, like, knowing which way the grain runs and all that, like, that was just, now it's just second nature. So, anyways, trimmed up my first brisket, salt and peppered the shit out of it, and threw it on. This is one I bought, obviously. Threw it on at night whenever they threw on all the other ones. And then in the morning I came in.
That's so interesting.
Took it off. And you know, I knew because of you cook so many, you know, they pull theirs off a little, you know, earlier, you know, than somebody nowadays would at a craft place.
Yeah.
So, because like I said, they only serve lean. So they do it their way. Anyways, I knew I had to leave mine on longer,
yeah,
because like we would just poke it with like a pit fork in the side of the lean and that's how you would tell if it was ready to pull or not. So I kind of got the idea over time, like, well, you know, you poke in so many of them, you're like, they get softer the longer they stay on, you know. And I enjoyed those more, like, because, you know, they're cooked down a little more. So I was like, okay, the salt pepper brisket, I'm gonna let it cook down. And yeah, I just kept letting it cook through lunch service and pulled it off.
Did you tell people, hey, don't mess with this is my little experiment?
I'm like, don't touch the pit. Like, this is mine. Don't touch it. Don't keep doing what y'all are doing. Don't worry about what's on the pit. And then, so then pulled it off. And then, it did have that black crust on it. And, I was like, this is badass. Like, because I never had one at that point like that.
Oh, that's so crazy.
Yeah, I had never, you know, went down Central Texas and had one. I just, like I said, I read about it, and I had experience with cooking them, so I just did it. And then, so I pulled it off at a certain point when I figured it was all right, wrapped it up, popped it in the warmer. And then later in the day, you know, after I was off, I took a little cut off of it, and I was like, yes, like, that shit is good.
And then, oh, that's so great.
Yeah, so then my wife, actually, like, when I met her, she was a vegetarian.
Wow.
Yeah. So her and her brother were vegetarian because her mom had heart problems, so they all kind of did it together.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then so when I met her, I actually converted her and her brother back to eating meat because I was always grilling at their house.
That's hilarious.
And then so we were living in this little apartment. I cooked that brisket, right? And then I come home, and I'm like, Joel, you just got to try this. She's like, I don't know. Because she, at that time, she, like, really didn't get why barbecue was so cool. Why, you know, I liked it so much. And so I busted it out and cut her a slice. And she just looked at me and was like, dude, what the hell? She was just, like, amazed by it. Or whatever. And I was like, I'm telling you, you know. I was like,
it's something special.
Yeah, right. So, but at that time, that just kind of fueled it a little further, the idea in my head, like, man, I would like to do this for myself. Like, and then so that kind of made me go, well, how would I do ribs? So then I started messing with ribs all the time. And so
the salt, like, dude, the salt, way, and salt and pepper for ribs, or just all different kinds?
Well, now, I mean, after we just finally opened or whatever, everything, all the meat is salt and pepper.
Yeah. But at that time, when you were testing, were you testing just all different kinds of rubs? Or
with ribs, I would do, like, chili powder and, you know, brown sugar or whatever. And they were good, too. I mean, they're going to be good, but, you know, if you cook them right. But, yeah, at the end, I just came to the conclusion, everything's just better. It's, like, less simple.
Yeah.
Like, if you can put the right amount on it, like, you know. Over time, my wife, she started to really enjoy barbecue more. Sorry, I'm just thinking too much.
That's okay. This is good. This is interesting. I think people will find this interesting, because it's interesting to hear this also from someone from Texas, and someone that you think you would have tried Central Texas style barbecue, but you grew up and you didn't, and that's okay. Right. But it's just funny, like, you would think everyone in Texas has tried it, but they haven't. So this is interesting. I like this.
It's because Lubbock's so far out, like, you know, 5 hours away from any, you know, big city.
That makes sense.
We're just out here in cotton field.
you're on an island.
Right. That's what it feels like a lot growing up. But yeah, so that was like, I mean, that was pretty early, like, I mean, 2009 or 10, like, that I cooked that. And like I said, I worked there like 9 years off and on. So there was a long time in between the fact that I knew, you know, and I did some more briskets and stuff over the time period, because I was like, man, that's like, this is good. I'm going to do me one. But, you know, for me at the time, I was like, brisket's a lot of money, you know, like, I got to, you know what I mean? Had to save up or put back, and then I'd do one again. Then I started feeding, like, my family and be like, you know, my dad, it's like a grill smoker. I don't know what they used it as grill growing up, but it's thick gauge metal. So, like, I was like, I'm going to start smoking them on this thing, you know? Yeah, the opening to the cook chamber is not that big from the little box. But, I mean, I made do with it. I put a little plate in there and kind of made it like a wannabe reverse flow or whatever.
Oh, that's smart.
So I would do that and smoke briskets, you know, for the family. I don't know. Everybody loved it. It was fun. Still wanted to always open up my place. But I was in school. Me and my wife were both in school to do art. I was going to be like an art professor or something.
Oh, nice.
I've been doing art since I was a little kid, like 5 years old, like just drawing and painting for no, I don't know why.
Did you draw that tattoo on your arm, on your hand?
Oh, no.
Okay.
That's just a whim. I was like, put this on there, I'm 18.
Just put it there. Okay.
But,
was she an art major too?
Yeah, so she's like, she ended up with a general studies degree, so, but it's minor in clay or sculpture and photography. She's done plenty of photography, like, you know, to help around working at Bigham's and construction, going to school. So then we were going to move to Austin because I was wanting to go to UT because they have a great art program. Mm-hmm. And we actually went down there to tour the college. She was graduated by this point with her bachelor's, and I had my associates, and we were going to, yeah, we went toward the college. Then we came back. We were for sure going to move. Always wanted to get out of Lubbock because that's just what everybody in Lubbock wants to do when you grow up in Lubbock. and then she was like, I'm pregnant, you know, found out she was pregnant. So I was like, oh, shit, we're back. Like, we're not going nowhere. Like, we're stuck in Lubbock again. Like, we ain't moving. That's how it's always been.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we stayed. And then I went to work. I did landscaping all summer long while she was pregnant, and then we had the baby, and I got me a job for the winter at this TIC company, which is like a global construction company. And I was doing I was helping build a power plant outside of town in Abernathy, Texas. So I did that for about 6 months, and I was like, you know, I just had a baby, and so I felt like a whole new person, like being a brand new dad. And I was just like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. Like, what am I doing? Like, I was supposed to go back to tech, like, to finish my art degree. But I was thinking in my head, just too many thoughts. I was like, this is going to take 5 years to get my master's, like, and I can support this family, you know.
Yeah, tough.
So I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do, you know. And then on top of it, there was, like, this crazy foreman lady that was over me, and she was driving me so crazy every day, like, me and all the other coworkers that I had. So one day, it was the last of it, and even though I just had a baby, I was just like, man, like, I can't do it. I can't work with this lady anymore. So I straight up was like, I'm not going in tomorrow, dude. So my buddy, he worked there with me because I got him a job, and I was like, here's what we're going to do, my master plan. We're going to smoke some briskets, we're going to make sandwiches, we're going to set up on the side of the road, and we're going to, you know, we're going to sell them suckers. And he's like, all right, man, I trust you.
Wow.
So we actually, we did that, stayed up all night, did that, set up on the side of the road near in an area that I thought was all going to be badass, because we did a lot of catering over there for Bigham's, because it's like industrial area, like a bunch of working guys, you know. So I was like, man, they're going to be hungry at lunch. They're going to get off. They're going to see we got sandwiches. They're going to buy it up. There wasn't a single car that stopped for us.
Oh, shit.
So I was so down, man. I was so down. And we had a sign. I started holding it on the road. And I was like, come on, you know, somebody stop. And I was like, this is so dumb. I quit my job. You know, I got bills to pay. I got the little one at home.
I bought this brisket. We paid money.
Yes. Oh, man, we were so down and out. So then I was telling my friend, I'm so sorry, like, that you went with her. So that was one of the big barbecue fails. What did I do after that? I don't even know what I did directly after that. I don't remember what I did right after that. But it was shortly after that that we went and visited her parents in Liveland, and prime real estate spot popped up off the main road, College Avenue, because I have the community college there. And I was just like, this is what we're doing. We're doing barbecue. Like, and Jill was like, okay, I trust you. Let's do it, you know. So I kind of just tossed school, just put it on the back burner, and, you know, went in with that. There was a shed there that was like a coffee shop drive-through place, right? And it was still sitting there, and I was like, we can use that shed, and it'll be perfect. You know, master plan again.
you've got all these plans.
Yes, it's me in a nutshell. So then we get right on that. I had a meeting with the city to make sure that I could do this, like, and do it in like an affordable manner.
Yeah.
I had like a very small grease trap there, and I told them, the city people, like, you know, it's going to be all to go out the window. I'm not going to have a whole lot of dishes. So they approved it, and it was, like, all badass. I was so excited. You know, I was going to have my own place. We met with the people that had the land. Actually, no, that was a whole runaround, too. I tracked down the person with the land, and it ended up not even being the person with the land. They owned the building, and he was going to buy the land, and he told me the whole time that he was the owner of the land. Oh. And then, yes. So then it turns out I figure out the truth. So I get with the real owners of the land. He's that other guy with the building, ends up moving that building off. So yes, there's. So then I was at that point down and out again. I was like, dang, dude, like, I don't even know why I thought I could open a place, you know. So I was like, this is just dumb. And then, you know, I guess because I had a kid, I just kind of like rebooted, and I was like, no, to hell with that. Like, my wife was down too. I was like, no, to hell with that. We're gonna open. We're going to do a place, you know, this is what we're doing. So I was like, we're going to get our own shed, you know, and we're going to do it. Because, you know, they have those little sheds you can pay out monthly now.
Okay.
So I was like, let's do it. So I went and got another shed, and we had it put on that spot after we, you know, put some concrete piers. You know, we sat out there and dug in that hard-ass dirt and put those piers. Long story short, we had to build our pit. Our big pit, and I did the whole kitchen myself, everything in there, like, and then it took a 2-year period. I thought I was going to bust it out in like a couple months, because I have lots of construction, you know, experience, but
it took you 2 years. Oh,
yes, because we had my other baby in that time frame. So I learned in that time period that when you're working and you're trying to be a family man, and you're trying to open a business, that's in another town an hour away from where I was living across the cotton
fields. It's insane almost.
It's not a damn joke. Like, so, man, those 2 years were super hard on me and my wife, like our family. And, but we like, because we were already like 1 foot in the doors the whole time. So we were just like praying every day, like that we get enough done to potentially get it open like soon. And, you know, things always take longer than you think.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, it was just one step at a time for 2 years. And we were broke. We had, because we were putting everything we had into it. Every last cent. So we didn't do nothing for 2 years. We had these two new babies and it was crazy.
But what was it like when you finally opened? What was that like?
When we opened, dude, like when we opened, okay, so our kitchen was phenomenal because like I said, we had construction background and I worked in a kitchen, so I knew exactly what needed to be in there to pass. And we just made it nice, and we had a cook shack that we built over the pit, and, you know, it was just nice. It was a nice cook shack. So called the health inspector up to meet us out there for the first time. He was kind of appalled because he was like, usually people give me beforehand to talk about what you need. So he, you could tell by his voice, he's like, I'm just going to meet you out there real quick, and then I'm going to leave. Like, he was already ready to shoot me down.
Yeah.
So he met us out there, and he was just, like, starstruck because he was like, this place looks phenomenal. He's like, this is the nicest kitchen I've ever been in this area. And he was like, wow.
Yeah, that's so great.
Yeah, and then he went into the cook shack, and he's like, y'all are by far ready to go. Like, y'all are ready to go. He's like, you can open up tomorrow if you want.
Wow.
So then, yeah. So we were just like, whoa, I made it. Like, we finally made it, like, after 2 years. And then, so, man, we were just, like, blown away, ready to open. And then it's funny because our 5-year anniversary was, like, right around the corner the next week. And we wanted to start opening on a Thursday, which was our 5-year anniversary. And I was like, I'm sorry, we can't do nothing for our 5-year anniversary. Well, I was like, oh, it's okay. Like, we need to open, man. Like, we got to make some money. Like, finally, you know. And I was like, okay. So we, like, got passed, ready to open.
Mm-hmm.
During this time, I was actually, like, painting a guy's house. It was my last deal working, you know, before barbecue. So I painted the inside of his house fully, you know, retextured some stuff, all new lights and everything in there. Then he wanted me to paint the outside of his house, so I painted all of that too. And so literally the day before, or the night before I cooked for us to open, I was still painting his house. The sun was going down, and I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm done with this house, finally. So, like, I was, like, painting the chimney, like, super fast. And, like I said, the sun was going down. My wife was already waiting in the car to pick me up. Like, are you done with the house yet? Like, you know. So, I got done with the house, finally. And I was like, thank you for letting me paint your house, you know. Took off in the car. Like I said, the very next day, it was time to cook. So, we didn't know. Like, I didn't, like, think about pricing on our first day because I was too busy painting the house, you know, and we were just so happy to be open. So we were like, let's just like get food and sell it, you know. So keep in mind, we had 2 years of Instagram hype of like, hey, we're opening in this area, in the small town. So we didn't know if we were going to be busy or slow, because we were like, I don't know if anybody knows about us truly, or these people like just randomly are following us and it's just internet hype maybe. So we were like, I don't know, how much do we cook, you know, that whole question. So we just like took a guess, and we got whatever briskets. I mean, we got prime briskets and stuff, yeah. But like we didn't, like I said, look at prices. As far as like pepper goes, which you need a shitload of pepper when you make barbecue.
Yeah.
We bought those little peppers from the local grocery store. Oh. I had them in my basket, man. Like, all those ingredients came from the grocery store. And it was so expensive. And then, so we were open Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And we ran the numbers after that week of how much did we put in and how much did we get back. And when we did all the calculations, we were like, holy shit, we didn't make any money this week because we, we didn't source our product from the cheapest source. So that first week was a big learning curve.
Was it busy? Were people there? Did people show up?
Yes, and it was so crazy because I stayed up all night to cook. So I was all tired and stressed because I was like, you know, I had like come up with all these recipes before we opened, and nobody cared to learn them from me so I was like telling everybody, we got to make this like this, do it like this. So I was like, I had experience managing a restaurant, but man, when it's your own baby and you want it to be perfect, like, man, I was stressed about it. And everybody else was like, I don't know, like everybody thought that we were going to get the hang of it and I was going to do everything. Like that was the plan. And I was like, after we got going, we're like, no, dude, like there's just no way I could do everything. Like it takes a team.
Was this 2016 or 2017?
That was in 2017.
Okay.
That was in 2018.
Okay.
Yeah. 2018. June 1st, 2018. I like had ran home really quick to change some clothes because I looked bad because I was all cooking, you know how that is. Then I came back. Well, no, my phone started blowing up like 30 minutes till. And my wife is like, and my wife and my brother, he was there helping. They're like, there's people lining up. We don't know what to do. And like, because they don't, you know, they didn't cut or nothing.
Yeah.
So they're like, what do we do? I'm like, dude, chill out. Like, I'm coming back. So I get there like 10 minutes till. And sure enough, like, there's all these people. And we're just like, what the hell? Like, this is crazy. So it was crazy. Like the first 2 months, the summer months in Loveland were amazing. And we thought, you know, like people were like, how are you doing? And we're like, dude, like this is a dream come true. Like it took us two years to open. You have no idea how grateful we are. And like the fact that, and everybody loved the food in Loveland. Like, dude, like, you know, in barbecue, your customers come up to you, you know, the cutter, and they talk to you, you talk to them. Yeah. Right. So you always get a good feel of like how everybody's liking it. And that, you know, that person, or like they say, you know, so-and-so sent me here because they really loved it. Like, and so people would always come up, and we had a good feeling that the whole town was really loving it because everybody would come up and be like, is it true? I came to see if it was true. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, dude, like, so anyways, then that person would eat it, they go tell somebody else. And so it was great. The first 2 months, we were like, this is awesome. And we expected to gradually climb, you know, like with sales and like, you know, do better to where we were actually staying in my mother-in-law's house over there at the beginning because we were like going to get our own place. That was the plan. Because we had to move over there to open, you know, like we didn't want to be driving an hour every, you know, day or whatever. But then it was kind of crazy, that whole, you know, time period, because we had to get our food in Lubbock, which, like, is 30, 45 minutes away. So every day, like, I would cook on Wednesday. We would get our food. We'd come to Lubbock damn near every day with our two little girls, okay? Our two little girls at the time were, like, 1 and 2.
This is why you moved. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Okay, yeah, we were living in Loveland at the time. Opened the restaurant. We're driving. That's when we realized this sucks because we're driving every day with our two little girls. But we had to get all the briskets in our car. And, you know, I don't know. We go on food run to Lubbock. I would start cooking on Wednesday night. And I would serve, you know, Thursday. And then we would go run to Lubbock. My wife would drive because I'd be tired. So I'd be like sometimes trying to pass out in the car. And then we'd get all the food in Lubbock, come back to Loveland. I'd cook, serve the next day, back to Lubbock. Awesome. Just over and over again until Saturday night where we'd be done. We'd clean up the restaurant and straight up I'd pass out, dude. Like stayed up like 3 days straight. We didn't have warmers. And, I mean, I don't know. That was another thing, too. Like, at Big Homes, we always had warmers. And there, I didn't. And I still don't have a warmer. That's why I cook overnight, partly.
That told you we need to think of this, a smarter way to do this, right?
Well, yes. We knew at that point, like, okay, we got to do these things. We got to buy a warmer, blah, blah, blah. But then the biggest thing happened when school came into season. We thought, okay, I think we're going to get busier because people are busy and they're gonna want to just eat out and stuff. And I had experience for Bigham's for years and years, so I was kind of taking, like, cues from Bigham's, like, okay, during this part of the season, like, people eat, like, our business might pick up a little bit or whatever. Or during the holidays, it might pick up a little bit, right? So, opposite for Loveland, complete opposite.
Wow.
Because people come to Lubbock to eat, you know, nicer meals and stuff. So, in the summertime, people, I guess, were off more and the families were off more, I guess. And they ate, or maybe it's because we were a new place. But when school started up, our business took a big hit. And we were like, what the heck? And it took us a while because we were like, okay, we were slow today. And then we kept cooking the same amount. Oh, we were slow again. And then, like, you know, brisket costs and everything will eat you up real fast. You know, a lot of it's big overhead for barbecue. So, yeah, we were taking big hits. And we were like, man, why are we slowing down? But we kept having to have faith. Like, well, it'll pick back up. And no, it just never did. It never did. And it kept going down gradually and instead of going up gradually in sales. And we were just like, man, this is, like, not good. Like, this is not what we, you know, signed up for, you know. And we still had, like, our regular customers that would come there, the great customers, man, you know, and they kept us going. But we had to learn how to budget so hard. Loveland taught us, like, how to be perfect, you know. But it kind of, in a way, it kind of sucked for me because I got into the whole thing because I love cooking.
Yeah.
I love cooking and I love cooking for people. We couldn't spend any extra money on, you know, trying to do new things too much, you know. But we still were like, we're craft barbecue. We want to be craft barbecue. We're doing it this way or this way, you know. So we were still experimenting and doing new things. Like in the wintertime, we did the brisket stew, which is like just a recipe Jewel would always make with ground beef, which I always loved it. And then we were like, let's try the brisket in there and like
stir
it off in there. And it was like the most amazing thing I've ever had. Like I tell people when I took my first bite of that, like I leaned up against the door because I was like, it was a cold day. And I was like, dude, man, the oil field workers around here will love that. We, you know, it was about 4 months in where I had realized or kind of come to grips with the fact that this is not, I don't think I want to be doing this in Loveland, like, for 5 years, yeah. Or, you know, I don't think I can stick this out because we were like back to being like poor, like yeah. Again. And I was just like, this sucks, man. This really sucks. So every night it sucked because it almost killed the passion for me of cooking.
Yeah, and that's
cooking,
sad. That could, yeah.
Barbecuing. Cause I was so tired, you know, because I knew how like strung out I was going to feel on Saturday. So, you know, I was always like gung ho for the Thursday cook or Wednesday to Thursday cook. And, but as soon as I was tired and if we didn't get good business on our first day open, I was like, man, dude, it's going to be a hard week. And it really killed my spirit and my wife. But it's crazy because my wife over that time period really like, she never worked in a barbecue restaurant like me. So she fell in love with serving people and doing barbecue like I did when I worked at Bigham's. And she understood. Her family always had barbecues growing up too. So we related in that sense. Man, that girl might love barbecues more than me now. She, you know, at the end of it all, I didn't even know about coming to Lubbock. That wasn't even a thought because we had put so much work into the Loveland thing. So I was like, I was just ready to provide for the family. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to like, I don't want to do construction again. So I was like, maybe I'll just get my CDL because, you know, people in my family have done that. So I was like, I'm going to go be a trucker or something like, and then
she was
like, hell no, you're not doing that. She's like, we waited 2 years to open this place. We are like already doing it. People love the food. Like, she was just, like, hell-bent. Like, people love the food. The food's too good to, like, just throw it away. Like, don't do that. And I'm like, whatever. Like, I'm like, if you want to do something, like figure out a spot for us to try to sell and it's doable, I'll cook. That's what it was.
So you put it in her hand?
Yeah. And so she took the reins and she started calling everybody in Lubbock. And then, you know, we got a few spots that we were like, maybe we could sell there. You know, they would maybe charge us like a per day or something. And then we hooked up randomly with High Sign Brewing in Austin. And they needed a food truck. So we were like, we talked with them and we were like, well, we'll be their food truck. Like, and we'll move to Austin after all. Yeah. So we were supposed to be the food truck at High Sign Brewing in Austin. And then, so, but we decided to close down at the end of the year in Loveland. And then she had still spoke with people in Lubbock. One of the people she had spoke to was, Charles Adams, which he runs an art gallery and kind of pretty much is one of the founders of the whole art district in Lubbock.
Oh, very cool.
So the Charles Adams Studio Project is like studio workspaces for artists and like a gallery. And they have this area there with all these tables. It has a big covering because it used to be an old gas station. But it's supposed to be where food trucks are able to sell in Lubbock. But food trucks in Lubbock are different than like Austin and stuff because they're pretty new, like, and so it's either catering based or people really want to go to where the crowds are, you know, like nobody really has like a permanent spot, you know?
Yeah. So which is pretty unique to Austin. Yeah.
Right. So me and Jewel, we, you know, we were familiar with all that. So we were like, well, let's just go to Charles Adams Studio. We're just going to do Thursdays only. So that way if people know about us, they're not going to split our days up. Like, well, we're not going to give them the option to eat with us Thursday and Friday or Thursday and Saturday. Like, just Thursday is when you can have this food. That way we don't get eaten up with our overhead cost again because we already knew this from Loveland. So we went there, and this Lubbock was supposed to be like a transition, like get our food trailer done and then go to High Sign Brewing. But let me just say this. I'm still not done with that food trailer. I'm working on it in the process. I did a little work on it today. We served out from under a tent, you know, pop-up tent, and we have to get a, you know, temporary permit every time that we sell. We started selling in Lubbock, and then it started to pick up in Lubbock, and then we got on the front page paper of the in Lubbock, and then we got like a few video little deals made of us cooking and serving. People started picking up on it, and like again, just like Loveland, really enjoying the food. And I kind of always thought in Loveland, well, maybe these people are just like small town Loveland, West Texan people. And like they, maybe they never had like really good barbecue. Like, I don't know. But then there's some people in Loveland that were like, I've been to Franklin's, I've been to Louis Miller's and all this. So I was like, that's cool, man. I'm glad you like it. Like, that's very awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But then we come to the bigger city of Lubbock, which I'm from Lubbock. I'm very familiar with the people and like just how the vibes, you know? So, same thing though, dude. Everybody just really loved the food. And like I said, we got all these little things going on. Abe's podcast came out. That was cool. PBS, the local KTTZ TV, we got put on PBS.
Was that 24 frames or whatever?
24 frames, yeah.
That was rad. That was really cool.
Yeah. It was very cool. And like, so everybody, there's a good sense of community in Lubbock nowadays.
Well, also, too, I saw Jimmy Ho. He even said, like, if I move back to that area, that would be, you'd be a specific reason why he would be happy to be back there.
Yeah, I mean, that was cool. I mean, it's just cool, man. When anybody comes out to try and has something nice to say, that's just the best.
You're at that, at that art district area, right? That's where you are. Are you going to stay there or go to Austin? Like, what's...
No, that's what I'm saying. It was supposed to be a transition. And then, like, so we were just waiting out the cold, windy days, every Thursday, and we knew we were going to add it on another day at some point. And I kept telling my wife, in March, we're going to pick up, like it's going to pick up hard. And so we had our normal customers, like that, which some of them kind of knew about us already. They picked up on who we were because of Texas Monthly. So when we came into town, they were there. And, we had our regulars every week, every Thursday, and then but they kept picking up more and more people. And then in March, I mean, dude, one random day, we had this biggest-ass line, and we were like, what? Like, I was just like, I knew it was going to happen, but I did not know it was going to happen today. And, I mean, it was a super long line, like, you know, a couple of hours until that line was done. And, yeah, I was just like, holy crap. But from leveling experience, I was like, that probably won't happen again next week. You know, like, it was a spike.
Yeah.
And then it happened again the next week, and we were like, oh, my gosh, like, what is going on in Lubbock? Like, this is cool, man. Like, because never in all my Bigums years, dude, I never imagined, and especially my big-time fail on the side of the road with my barbecue sandwiches. Like, I never thought I would be selling barbecue in Lubbock, like, and doing well at it. So it's really grown over here. We added on the second day, just like a month ago or something.
So what's your menu, just so people know what you guys are serving?
So we do brisket, spare ribs. We do handmade sausage, either cheddar or green chili cheddar.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that too.
It's pretty good. We do pork belly. I like to mix it up. So, I mean, sometimes you might see pork shoulder, but it's more... people really love the pork belly, so like I do that more than not now. In the past, I've done like half chickens and stuff, but that's not really on the regular menu. We do turkey now. We added that on.
Are the tomahawk steaks like a special thing that you do?
Yeah, and I probably will do more of those in the future, because I found out like in Leveland when we do new things that people come and they want to try it out.
Yeah,
and so we kind of continue that, and then we kind of do things seasonal. So like our brisket stew that we added on in Leveland, we haven't done that here so much. Like at the first part of in January, we were doing it and we stopped doing it. Green chili cream corn, we stopped doing it. We are doing, like, we will add that stuff back on like maybe November, fall. You know. Right. Yeah, right. So, and then, so right now we're doing like charro beans. We're doing like a warm potato salad that has like, we call it potato salad, it's just really cheesy potatoes with like you know, sour cream and like ranch seasoning. Like, it's really good.
That sounds so good.
We put brisket off in it too. Like, yeah, it's kind of like a stuffed potato except without the, you know. And then we do the whole corn, the street corn, and you know, my wife puts the cotija cheese and the, you know, all the seasoning on it. And people,
I love
are really
that eating. So much.
If, yeah.
Yeah. When it's done right.
People are really eating that up right now.
Literally.
So, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, the tomahawk steak, I see them all the time when I'm shopping for the meat. And I actually went to the store that Wednesday night right before the store closed, and I was going to head down the highway to start cooking. And I just text my wife, and I was like, I'm buying a tomahawk steak, man. Like, I never made one. But I was like, I'm about to make this sucker, and we're gonna advertise it, you know.
That's cool.
And I did the reverse sear on it. I smoked it and then I reverse seared it in the morning, and then yeah, people were like showing up in droves for it, and I was like, all right, yeah, I could probably do this like in the future.
Yeah, it's fun too.
Apparently, it was good. I didn't get to try it myself.
That's sad. That's so sad.
Like, people were like, oh man, it's so good.
Do you guys have desserts too?
Yeah, so we did banana pudding a lot in Loveland, and we'll probably bring that back at some point. But we've been doing a lemon cream pie. So that's like a lemon pie that my family always made, and I remembered it one day, and I was like, that would be awesome, like little pies. You know, we do the homemade graham cracker crust and the lemon cream, and then we make our homemade whipped cream to put on top of it.
Oh, sounds so good.
So, it's a really good sweet finish to a, you know, a salty and
savory. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. Like I said, we still do our temporary permits. When our food trailer's done, it's going to be awesome because we're not going to have to pay for those every single time we serve.
So right now you're open Thursday, Friday, right?
Nope. Thursday and Saturday.
Oh, okay. Skip Friday. Okay.
Because I also learned, like I said, I learned from Leveland, like, doing that back to back to back and me staying up all night is just bad for my health.
What time?
11 a.m. until we sell out.
Gotcha.
So, okay. And I always try to tell people that we're going to have food until about 3 p.m.
Okay.
For sure. We're always going to have brisket ribs. The sausage tends to go really fast. Then, you know, the corn, it goes pretty fast, too.
When you have the trailer, do you think it'll be 4 days, maybe? 3-4 days?
I don't think, man. Depending on how things go, we maybe would add on Friday. We're going to change our cooking schedule when we get the trailer, because I'm going to get a warmer to put in there. So
You're kind of playing by ear.
Yeah, I might start cooking a little bit more in, like earlier, like in the day, and because I can utilize that warmer to for hot holding. Yeah, we'll see. And then as far as like not moving, after we really picked up, we actually talked to like the director of that place. We've gotten to know those guys over the time. Yeah. The artists that hang out there and do work. Anyways, we were like, man, like here's the deal. Like we came over here and like we're getting like serious over here in this spot. And we were like, we want to stay in this spot. Like we love this spot. We are like art people.
Yeah. It makes so much sense.
Right. And we were like, you know, like people are going to know about us in this spot on these days. Like we were like, so we're thinking like more long-term, is that okay with you? You know? And he's like, whatever, man. He's like, whatever y'all want to do. He's like, y'all have stuck it out. He was like, y'all came out here on the cold, windy days, and we didn't know. Like, I think he didn't know about us. Like, he thought that we were just – they knew that we had did away with our restaurant to go over there. And I think they thought we were maybe a little bit crazy that we just wanted to set up with a tent, like, randomly downtown. Because downtown is, like, in a redevelopment stage, you know, like – growing up, there was nothing in downtown. Now there's like a few businesses popping up, but we're like, man, this is very cool. We get to be a part of that.
Oh yeah.
In the new, you know, it's pretty new, like cultural art district, and so yeah, we discussed with them like, can we maybe like rent a studio space of you know later, you know, so we can have permanent seating. They let us use the gallery seating there sometimes, but if we had that space and we can maybe potentially leave our trailer or, you know, a pit down there, like instead of dragging it back and forth.
Yeah. Then you can maybe eventually incorporate your art.
Her photography. My wife was like, you can hang your paintings in the seating area. Yeah, and I was like, well, maybe that would be cool. But I mean, I don't know. Like we have to talk more with those guys, but they're so cool. They're so, you know, they're forward thinking people because they're artists and, and I think they really get the fact that people, they get people who want to do something by hand.
Creative.
Creative on their own. And so they're entrepreneurs, you know, in their own sense. And like I said, I think they respect us now because we stuck it out and we have these big old lines now. And they're like, I remember one of the first days we had the big lines, Chad, the director, came out and was just looking at it like, with a shocked face, like he was like, "Oh my god!" Like, so
that's really cool. That's awesome. It is
cool, yeah.
This has been so great. This is so. I knew your story and I heard from it, but I didn't know it in its entirety. And what a story from like going to like selling on the corner to like to not even selling actually at all, trying to sell these sandwiches to where you are now, where you're gonna have a potentially a permanent space, which is so cool in an art area.
And it's so crazy too because I told my wife, if I would have known we could have sold here, I would have never started the whole thing in Loveland, and I would just came over here and sold. But I wouldn't have done it because it took us having to go in 2.5 months or two years and 6 months in Loveland to even have the, you know, the grit to Lubbock and stick it out.
Yeah.
So
it's sad. Like it's like, you don't want to, the journey doesn't always seem, but it is the journey. Are who you are because it shaped who you are right now.
Yes, exactly.
So interesting. Wow, this is so cool. Well, Andrew, it's so nice to meet you, and I can't wait to have lunch with you sometime when I'm up. So if someone is in Dallas or Austin, how long would it take them to get out to Lubbock?
Five hours.
Each from either spot?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, and even if you're not thinking Texas, Santa Fe, I don't know if they have an airport. I don't know. Probably. Santa Fe, 5 hours to anything, unless you're going to like I said, Amarillo is like 2 hours, Abilene's 2 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty far.
I'm sure it's worth it. It's definitely worth it. And
nowadays it's worth it because there's like people who are saying like West Texas is a barbecue destination. Mm-hmm. And it's true. Like Pit Forks and Smoke Greens and the Rehino Barbecue, and of course you have Evie Mays or any of the other small town or the small joints that like I said, I grew up eating. Like we still go eat those. A lot of time on Wednesday before I'm going to cook, I'm like, let's go eat barbecue. And we go eat, and I tell my wife, I need my motivation. I need to eat some good barbecue so I can know why I want to cook.
Well, there's places plus all the places you talked about earlier. Yeah, like that's exciting. Like you kind of gave us a little tour of Lubbock and the area.
Yeah, man. Come down and like for sure I'll cook for you and I'll take you out and we'll eat all the spots, man.
Yeah, and I'll stay in town. That would be I could stay overnight. That'll be fun. Excellent. Well, have a great evening and I really look forward to seeing you. Yeah, good luck with everything. I'm so excited for you.
Cool, man. I appreciate you.